right, we'll go ahead and dismiss our Kingdom kids for your time together. You can turn to 1 Thessalonians. Many of you know I just returned actually on Thursday from a business trip to India. Spent a couple of weeks. I'm still a little bit upside down here. Just so you can feel sorry for me, So 37 and a half hours of travel from the time I left there till I got home. Diane was in San Diego taking care of the grandbaby, and I get home to find that our hot water heater had gone out. So I was greeted with a cold shower. There was much wailing and gnashing of teeth over that, believe me. We got it all fixed up now, so we're back on the road, but those things always happen at the worst times, don't they? All right, we're continuing our journey in 1 Thessalonians, and I hope it's been a blessing for you. It's been good for me. I've been learning and challenged, and hopefully again today. We've been talking about Paul and his ministry. We talked about the gospel, his presentation of the gospel, and what he had to say about that. Last time we were together, in 1 Thessalonians, we talked about what I called the other half of his ministry, which was personal ministry to the believers there. And I've titled today's message, The Heart of Ministry to Others. And I think today we're going to kind of continue that theme of that ministry, and we're going to see Paul in his ministry to the people and his desires for them, and really get a picture of his heart and what he's about. Now, today's Palm Sunday. This is not a Palm Sunday message per se, but I think as we'll see, and we'll mention this again at the end of the message, really what underlies all that we're talking about here is love and Paul's love for the people there in Thessalonica. And I hope that we're also challenged to have that same kind of love for others and those around us. And we'll get a picture of that today as we look at Paul's love and his desires for the Thessalonians. And our love, as 1 John talks about, we love because he first loved us, right? I think about Palm Sunday. If you've ever been to Israel or been to Jerusalem and that Mount of Olives, looking down into town and that route that he would have taken on that day. And all the people are there praising him and Hosanna, glory to God, praise for the one who comes in the name of the Lord, knowing as he did full well that in just a few days that same crowd would be shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And it was his love that drove him to continue and to do that. So we're not talking about Palm Sunday per se, and yet the love of Christ is what motivates Paul and hopefully motivates us when we talk about this heart and this desire to minister to other people. Now, the passage that we're going to cover today is fairly long. We're going to just take it in pieces. I'm not going to read it all end to end. You can see it in your bulletin or in your Bible you brought or your device if you want to read it all in one piece, which is good. But we're just going to take this in pieces, and I hope that it presents a challenge to you as it has to me as we look at Paul's heart and the heart of ministry to others. So you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's have a word of prayer as we get into God's word this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word, as I know your spirit always does and is faithful to do so. Be with my words, and I pray, Lord, that as we go through the message today, that it will challenge our hearts to have that heart of ministry and love for others. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are in verse 17 of chapter 2, and let's just read this little section here. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us, Now notice verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Our first point today, as we talk about the heart of ministry to others, is the subject of real treasure in heaven. Now, Paul says to the people, look, we know the story, we've talked about it, I've mentioned the context several times, that Paul started the church there, he's there probably a few months, and he's run out of town. That's sort of the story of Paul's life. Sometimes they beat him first or do other things to him, but he's run out of town, right? The Jews get upset, the locals, they run him out of town. He's desperate to understand, are you guys really staying with what I taught you? We're going to see more of that in just a few minutes here. But he's very anxious to get back to them and minister to them. But he says, I couldn't do it. There's just no way for me to do it. He mentions Satan hindered us. I think he's talking about Satan working in the lives of the opposition that's preventing him to be there. Now, we know that that's the Lord allowing Satan to get in the way. God could have pushed that opposition aside if he chose to. He chose not to in this case. So they're hindered from being there. But as I mentioned, notice especially, it's very interesting statements he makes in verses 19 and 20. What is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. You know, Jesus spoke about laying up treasure in heaven. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He was talking in that context about material things. Don't put your focus on the things of earth. Use your material things, your money, whatever the Lord provides for you, for the kingdom. Give to the church, give to missions, give to the poor. Lay up treasure in heaven because you've used those resources for the sake of God's kingdom and not for yourself and for things of this earth that are very temporary. Paul takes a different angle on that. And what he essentially says here is, when I stand before the Lord in that day, the end of time, where I'm standing before him as he evaluates my life and my life for him, one of the things that's my treasure up there is you people. That's the treasure that I'm laying up in heaven. It's you. You are our hope, our joy, our crown of boasting. Now, don't take that word boasting in a negative context. It has the concept of glorying and rejoicing before the Lord. You are what we're laying up in heaven. I'm laying up people in heaven as a treasure that's going on ahead of me that I expect to be able to point to on that day as treasure that I've laid up in heaven. That's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? That when we think about ministry and this heart of ministry for others, that when we minister to other people, when we encourage them, as we'll see in a minute, when we pray for them, when we try to help them in their journey to become more like Christ, in fact, we are laying up treasure in heaven before the Lord, and it's those people that we've worked in their lives and we've had an impact in their lives. It's really an amazing point that he makes here, and that's a challenge to each of us to say, first of all, what is that treasure that I'm laying up in heaven? And will I have anybody that I can point to on that day and say, that person there is part of the treasure that I laid up ahead in heaven? I had an impact on that person's life. I made a difference there. I did more than just care for myself and my family. I reached out beyond, and I had an impact in their walk for Christ and their life for Christ. As I mentioned the last time in this, when I talked about that personal ministry, I know I had a couple of people in my own life that I could say, yeah, on that day they could point at me and say, yep, that's a person that I help lay up treasure in heaven with that person there, with Tom. I made a difference in his life and helped him on his path to be more like Christ and to follow Christ. So I know that's true for me. It makes me pause and think, are there others that I have had that kind of impact on? And that's, I guess, the challenge for us as well. We talked about how temporary things of this life are. We think things are going to last forever, but they don't. When I was in India, I was there over a weekend, so I took advantage of the chance to take a quick trip, which was kind of insane, but I did it, to go to the town of Agra and see the Taj Mahal. Quite a magnificent structure, completed in 1648, still magnificent. One of the few structures of hundreds of years old that's still standing and still there in all its glory, so to speak. Diane and I have traveled a few places, whether it's been to Israel or Europe or some places, and we see some structures, and they're a few hundred or maybe 1,000 years old, and all you see is the ruins of it, right? Structures that in that day may have been thought of as, hey, this is forever, right? You remember Jesus with the disciples, and the disciples pointed at the temple and said, wow, this is magnificent, isn't it? And Jesus said, yeah, not one stone is going to be left on the other. We know in AD 70, the Romans put down a rebellion and invaded and tore the whole thing down, right? Everything of this life is temporary except people. We're all eternal. Yes, our body will die someday, but our soul is eternal. We're all destined for resurrection. The saved, because of what Jesus did, as we're going to celebrate at Easter, to heaven for all eternity. The lost, to an eternity apart from him in hell. But people are the thing that's eternal. I think that's the great thing about Paul. You look at Paul, understood the magnitude of what he was doing, right? I mean, he understood that in his little time and space that he occupied in this world, that he was trying to make a difference for eternity. And when he looked at the people around him, he even put it in that context of someday I'll stand before the Lord, Thessalonians, you people of the church of Thessalonica, and I want to be able to point to you and say, you are the treasure that I've laid up in heaven. I've made a difference. I made an impact for the cause of Christ in your life. That's a challenge to me, and I hope it's a challenge to you. When we think about that heart for ministry, we need to keep in mind that we are working for eternity. You know, we don't always think of it that way in terms of this ministry to the people around us and getting involved in their lives and ministering to them. But those things, even though they seem temporary, we are making an impact towards eternity as we're helping others come to know more of Christ and grow closer to him. So that's our first point today, real treasure in heaven. Now, let's look at the next section here, and I'll go ahead and give you the point. Our second point is real encouragement in trials. Real encouragement in trials. And we'll look at, let's read the next handful of verses here first. Starting in chapter 3, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. So he's very concerned with them. They're going through some great trials, and so he sends Timothy back. Now, Timothy, as we know, is Paul's companion in ministry. He calls him his son in the faith. He's kind of his right-hand man. And whenever Paul gets run out of somewhere and he needs somebody to go back and minister, he sends Timothy. Timothy got sent to Corinth, which was probably like, oh, please don't send me there. He got sent to Philippi. He was the pastor in Ephesus for some period of time, it appears. So Timothy is the guy, the frequent messenger, and he's being sent to Thessalonica to see how they're doing and to provide encouragement to them. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to identify with Paul. You know, brilliant, bold, the great missionary. But we can all identify with Timothy, okay? Timothy really is a lot like us. You know, he struggled being fearful. Paul wrote to him in 2 Timothy, Timothy, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. He told the Corinthians, please be nice to Timothy, don't make him afraid, right? Told him to drink a little wine instead of the water for the sake of his stomach and all the ailments he had. I think he had some anxiety and some issues there. We talked last time about those of us who are introverts, right? That this whole idea of reaching out and ministering and touching people is, let's say, more difficult, okay? And I had more than one person talk to me about that and say, yes, I'm one of those people and it is difficult. I think Timothy was that way. I don't think he was gifted, obviously. Paul had complete confidence in him that he was going to deliver the message that Paul would have delivered. And yet, even with the fears and so forth, we note that Timothy always did what he was asked to do, and he goes to Thessalonica, and he encourages the people of the church, and he checks on them to see how they're doing in the faith. So for those of us that struggle with some of this, take Timothy as your example, as someone who also had some of those struggles and yet followed through and did what he needed to do. Now, let's look at the nature of this encouragement. Paul had told them, and we talked about this with the gospel, he didn't promise them that you come to Christ and then life is just going to be wonderful, right? It'll be easy, everybody will love you, everybody will be nice to you, you won't have any trouble. He told them, look, this is going to be a tough road, right? But he's encouraging them in saying, look, this is the Lord's will for your life. You're on the path that God has for you. He's there with you in it. He's walking the path with you, and you can take courage in that, and you can be encouraged and realize that God is right there along the way. They needed to hear that kind of encouragement. When you go through difficulties, that's what you need to hear. You need somebody to share with you from God's word and to understand that God is with you in the trial, in the difficulty, in the struggle. He's right there and he's with you. I remember back many years ago, many, many years ago now, when I was just out of college, I'd been to the Philippines on a mission trip. And I got sick after I got back, and I was sick for months. And worst trial I've ever had by far. And I remember there was a time when a couple of people from church came to visit me at my apartment. And basically they told me that I must be living in sin because otherwise these things wouldn't be happening to me and I wouldn't be sick like this. That's not the kind of encouragement that we're talking about here, okay? That's not even biblical, and we don't even need to get into that, but people need encouragement in trials to know that God is with them, right? That he's there in the difficulty, that he's working in it for their good, as the scripture tells us. We're always fighting against discouragement, against temptation to drift away. We need encouragement to stay with it, especially in difficulty. Now, if we're to do what Paul and Timothy are doing here with the Thessalonians, that implies that we have an understanding of what's happening in other people's lives, doesn't it? It means we have to get to know people. You know, we have our prayer list every week, but I promise you, if we were to look around, or you looked around to your left and right, there are people going through different situations in their life that you have no idea about this morning. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's a son or daughter and difficulties and decisions. Maybe it's their marriage. There could be all kinds of things going on in their life, and you have no idea. They may be sitting there needing somebody to come along and provide encouragement to them, to help them realize that God is right there with them, to encourage them from the Scriptures and show them what the Lord has to say. They need that, but you don't know it, right? And we don't know it unless we connect with people. And I can assure you, if you have a desire to have the heart of ministry to others and be an encourager, if you reach out to others and just even in friendliness, connect with people, get together with people, the Lord will bring people across you in your life that you can have this kind of ministry to. But it won't happen if you don't reach out, if you don't get to know people, if you don't connect. That's why we try to provide opportunities like that at church, but also beyond church, to just be connecting with people and make sure that you get to know a little bit more about what's going on in their lives and how you can be an encouragement to them. We need that. Okay? We all need that. All of us. Now, I want you to notice one more thing in this section, and I'm going to read the next few verses here. Note that in the encourager is also encouraged here. Let's pick it up in verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Paul, because the Thessalonians are continuing to follow the Lord, are continuing to thrive as a church and desiring to see Paul and his companions again, he is actually greatly encouraged. He takes great comfort in his own trials because of the fact that the Thessalonians have been encouraged and are continuing their walk in the Lord. When we reach out to others, when we strive to encourage others, we also are encouraged ourselves as we see God working in other people's lives. There's a great blessing in seeing God work in other people and seeing them grow and seeing them stay with it, in connecting with them during the week and encouraging them and then seeing them again on Sunday and seeing that God is moving in their lives and is helping them to grow and to become more like Him. Paul here talks about the joy that he has. He mentioned it also at the end of chapter 2 in verse 20. There is great joy that we get in ministry to others. The Bible says a lot about joy. It talks about us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Many Christians don't experience that much joy. And I got to tell you, I think part of the reason is because we're not really ministering to other people. I think there's a great joy that comes from giving yourself to others and ministering to others. There's a great joy that comes to your heart and an encouragement to your heart as you see the Lord work in their life. There's a great joy. If you're not experiencing joy in the Lord, possibly it's because you're not reaching out and ministering to others and then having the joy of that ministry. So we see the real encouragement in trials. Connecting with people, getting to know what's going on in their life, and being there to encourage them. Now, there's one more point today as we finish this passage of Scripture. And that's number three, and we'll look at this in our last section here. And that's real prayer for growth. We see a prayer of Paul in verses 11 to 13 here as we finish our passage. Paul is praying for them and the certain things that he wants for them. He says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." This is Paul's prayer for them. Okay, Paul spent a lot of time praying. There's all kinds of epistles where there's prayers that he goes into. In Philippians, Ephesians, there's all kinds of places where he's actively praying to God for the people. And here's his prayer for them. And, you know, we talk about prayer a lot, right? It's all something we can do more of and do better with. But let's think about the prayer that Paul had for these people and how we can have the same kind of prayers for each other. Notice that his prayer for them is one that's very spiritual in nature. It's not that Paul didn't care about the trials they're going through, the persecution, the other things that they're facing, but he is praying most of all for them, for their growth and their walk with Christ. "I want you folks to increase in your love for one another." That core and key characteristic that I mentioned at the beginning, that love for others that's so important for the life of the church and the fellowship of believers and our ability to minister to each other is that love. He prays for that for them. "That the Lord would establish their hearts blameless in holiness," that sanctification. He's going to get into that more in the next chapter. That God would work in their lives and they would cooperate with that work so that they could grow in their faith and become more like Christ. He's praying for them that that would take place, that they are ready at the point that the Lord comes again in their walk with the Lord, that they are living a life that's honoring to Him, and that they are ready for His return. Now, we need to pray this kind of prayer for each other, right? As I mentioned earlier, we face all kinds of temptations. We're all human, we're all frail, we're all sinful, we're tempted to sin, we're tempted to discouragement, we're tempted to just plain apathy about the things of God, aren't we? We need people to pray for us. Once in a while, I get a text or a note from somebody saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you." I appreciate that. It's good to know that people are praying for you and are lifting you up before the Lord. Prayer makes a difference. We don't understand how it all works. That's okay. We see Paul in his earnest prayer to God saying, "Lord, I want you to work in their lives and make them more like Christ and help them to grow." And we need that kind of prayer for each other. And I hope as you think about and go through your week, you can go through the directory. There's certain ones that you're ministering to or are getting to know better, that you're praying earnestly for them and that you know how to pray for them and what they're dealing with so that you can pray better for them because of your understanding of what's happening in their lives, and that we make that a part of our own spiritual life, is that prayer for growth for others. We want to see people become more like Christ. We want to become more like Christ. That's a work of God. We can't do that in ourselves. He mentions that here, that the Lord would make you more holy, and we need the Lord to do that work in our lives. So as we wrap this up this morning, we've talked about this heart of ministry to others. I think we see Paul's heart for these people, don't we? We see how he is thinking of them as his treasure in heaven. He wants to impact their lives for eternity. We see the encouragement that he's trying to give to them, and we see the prayer that he's praying for them. Now, we've mentioned it multiple times. The key here is our love for others. If we're not ministering to those around us, it's really a demonstration that our love for them is just not great enough to prioritize it. And we need to make it a priority to step out of our comfort zone, to take the time and the effort to get to know other people, to understand what's going on in their lives, to minister to them. And yes, we have our own families, kids, whatever the case might be, and that's, of course, our priority, but we can minister to our family and minister to others. It's not an either-or kind of a thing. Sometimes we make it out like it is. It's not. It needs to be both, and it should be both. So we're going to move on to other topics, get past this personal ministry aspect as we get into chapter 4. But I hope it's been a challenge to you as it is to me. Pastor Chris has been emphasizing this year. Many commentaries through this section talk about this section as really concepts for the one in ministry, for the pastor. This is what it means to pastor people and to have a heart for people in pastoring. I think we see that in Pastor Chris, by the way, what we're talking about today, and I hope you see that and appreciate it. And what he is trying to model for us. And the challenge, though, for us this morning is to say, okay, this is not just for the pastor or the deacons or those more in sort of official ministry. This is for all of us to reach out to those around us, to have that heart for ministry and encouragement, and to become a part of others' lives. And I'll challenge you like I did the last time. Start even this week. Think about somebody that you can connect with, that you can talk with, go get a coffee, share lunch, that you can just start to understand just a little more about who they are and where they come from and what's going on in their lives and what the Lord's doing and how you can be an encouragement to them. Let's put it into action, not just hearers of the word, but doers also. Why don't you pray with me as we wrap up this morning? Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the challenge that it presents as we look at Paul and his heart of ministry for others. I know it's a challenge to me, Lord, to model that same kind of a heart to those around me and to get out of my own little world of busyness and all the tasks and things and to really reach out to those around me and recognize that all the other stuff is temporary, but the people are eternal, and I need to have an impact for eternity. Go with us, Lord. Help us to have that desire to minister to others. Bring us back this evening for the time together as well there. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.